You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Move the Sticks. DJ and Bucky back with you, Buck. How are we doing, my friend?
Man, I am doing well, DJ. Like, it's so crazy that the Hall of Fame game is right upon us. I mean, it's right here. We're about to go through it. And we say it, I feel like, every time on the podcast. I was downhill now. We had to get through the first couple of weeks of training camp. But once you get to that first preseason game, I mean, you know how it goes. It flows. The train is always on schedule. And so now we're in it, and I can't wait.
Yeah, no, it's exciting. We get games. As we're recording this, we are one day away. So we'll have a game tomorrow night, which is something we're going to touch on today on the pod. Well, look, we know the big guys aren't playing in that game, but it's a chance to talk about those two teams. When you think about the Jets, think about the Cleveland Browns, expectations, what we're hearing there. I'm going to be out. Gosh, I've got Philly and Pittsburgh next week. Where do you have coming up, Buck? I know you go back to Minnesota. Where else are you going?
Yeah, so I'm going to see the Niners tomorrow. Then I have Minnesota over the weekend. And then next week, I get a chance to go up and see the Seattle Seahawks. So I'm really excited about all of this stuff.
No, that's great. So we'll have, again, once we get out to these camps, we'll give you what we got from there. Got great feedback from the last one. People enjoyed some of those stories and information we were able to gather from our previous spots. So look, we'll continue to do that as we go along the way here. So we'll touch on this Hall of Fame game, what we're looking for there, what to expect from those two teams. Also going to talk about some rookies you're looking forward to watching in the preseason, because we will see these guys. We will see these young guys out there for a quarter or two, and we'll see them get a little more work than these veterans. So I think those are the ones you pay attention to in the preseason. So we'll get to all that stuff as we go along. But I want to start out, Buck, and as we get going here, the role of social media, how much different it is now versus, you know, when we were scouting. We've been out of it a little over a decade each. It's different in terms of, remember when, like, there was rumors, you always would worry about, man, are they going to send somebody like kind of undercover to be in the stands at an open practice? And, you know, you didn't want anybody knowing anything. And it would just be, we'd have to read the sports scans. Remember those?
Yes,
sports scans would be super thick, be 2 inches thick of clips for every article written on every team. They'd be sorted alphabetically by the team. I used to have to print those things out and put them on GM's desk, pro director's desk every day when I first got into the league. And then you would assign different scouts to different teams, and you literally would be reading every day about, oh, this young guy made some plays in practice. You're just going off what you read. Now, Buck, like, every single day, you could get on Twitter right now, or X, whatever we call that thing, and you'll see hundreds of clips of players and get a chance to see what they look like, not just read what they look like.
DJ, it's funny how much assets teams are giving. There's social media teams and those things, and they're tweeting things out. And even though they try and do a good job of the way they cut it, so you can't really see formations and those things, there's a lot that you can glean based on some of the clips that are being put out. You can see who's catching the ball. You can see who's running. You can see the guys that are playing. It used to be a secret who's playing well, but now it seems like everyone is highlighting the players that are doing really well. And some of the obscure players kind of find their way into the cycle. So, yeah, unlike yesteryear when you did have to scour the newspapers and kind of dig through all the stuff on the internet, man, you can go through your phone and just kind of look at Instagram and those things and kind of know who's who and what's what. When it comes to your favorite team.
No doubt. And to give you an example, when you're with a team and you're a scout, even when you're a college scout, they'll give you two teams. And we've talked about this a little bit in the past. They give you two teams to cover during training camp. So you would try and read every article every day on those teams, learn what you can learn. And then you would go out. We would go out to those preseason games. Used to be four. So we usually go out to three of them and try and take your folder and write down their names. You'd write down when they got into the game so you could go back to the tape and be able to fast forward and find it. It was hard scouting. Like, you had to really lock in on, you know, trying to evaluate. You had like 18 guys.
Can't spend a lot of time at halftime trying to eat. You got to be in your seat. You got to know, because that kickoff coverage team trying to figure out who's on kickoff. writing those numbers down and trying to see. Yeah, that's it's a tough deal.
And you'd be there with the other scouts from other teams who are looking at the same exact players you were. So you try and help each other out a little bit, like, oh, hey, that seventh round pick just came in. He's a Sam linebacker. He's supposed, they have him on the flip card as 46, but he's wearing 48. You know, like that type of stuff. That was stressful. Now you can pull up the preseason tape. You can type in the player's name, play time. You'll see every snap that he played. You can see every target, everything. So it's way more efficient that way. But I also think the next layer to that, if I was a pro director at this point in time with the technology that we have, I would say, hey, look, here's the list of the names you have. You're going to watch every snap that they play in the preseason. But you need to go through and pump each of these names in individually into social media search engines. And you might see 10 different practice plays that have been posted, not only by this, by the team, maybe by fans. If you just type in that player's name, that team doesn't know that you're posting these one-on-ones. And now I can see, okay, man, this guy looks like he can run, but man, he only got two targets in the preseason. And all of a sudden I can pull up all these social media clips and I can see 15 to 20 one-on-one reps.
You know who I could have used that for? So I don't know. I've never told this story. So during that preseason scouting, the Chargers were my team. Just when they were in San Diego. So my former college coach, one of the coaches, Tim Brewster, is coaching tight ends for the Chargers.
Is this Antonio Gates' story?
So on the like number 49 comes in. So you go and you look through. Like there's no information down. It's like Kent State, like undrafted free agent. So you go in there, you see he comes in. He plays like the last little bit of the fourth quarter. So you kind of like, you know, you're doing that flash scouting, like, okay, mm-hmm. run around or whatever. So did you, I remember writing in like 5-0, like, priority free agent. Yeah. Like, he's fine. He's fine. He's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
And then years later, right, like 2 years later, after he's blowing up, you're like, wait a minute.
That was him? Yeah.
And then I'm mad at my guy, Brew. Like, Brew, you didn't tell me that he's this guy. Book, I told you he was a basketball player. Like, no. But like those instances when, look, the stadium is mostly barren. There's no one paying attention. It's 3 minutes left. Everyone is kind of like packing up their stuff. And you got these guys running around that you have to pay attention to. And so that's why it's important. The Antonio Gates of the world, some of the other guys that have been undrafted that have kind of made their mark, those guys come into these preseason games and you want to have your eyes on them. And like that 2 or 3 minutes, they may not do anything. But if you can catch what we're talking about, social media, some of the practice clips, who's hot, who's buzzing, it might kind of lead you to the water a little bit so you're ready to drink it.
Can I give listeners and fans a little caution here? This is my from experience cautionary note to you, because you are probably doing what we're talking about. You are following all your teams, writers, reporters. You're looking at the team sites. You're seeing videos. Let me just give you this little thing that's going to calm your nerves here. If you have drafted an offensive lineman or a corner, okay, those are the two positions that will cause panic in training camp. Because you know why? If I'm an offensive tackle and I'm a first-round pick or a second-round pick and I have 10 one-on-ones and 9 of them I do just fine, but on the 10th one I get my butt kicked, guess which play gets circulated on social media? It's the one where you got your butt kicked. Yeah. It's the same thing with a corner. You could hold up fine for 5-6 reps. All of a sudden, you get a veteran receiver. He gets you, and you look bad. Now, all of a sudden, there's a handful of plays that start circulating on social media. You start freaking out. So I would just say, hey, be patient. First of all, those two positions usually take a little time to develop. But also, I think those are the positions where you can take a needle in a haystack mistake, and it can get blown way up.
Yeah, you absolutely have to. You have to treat all of that with like some caution. Like you don't want to be overly optimistic on all these guys because it's a marathon, not a sprint. And DJ, we've seen it. Guys that start out training camp, they are hot. They're on fire. They're making every play. But then as you get into the games and as you get near the end of camp, sometimes they lose their way in those things. And so you want to keep notes, but you want to just keep kind of like a level head and even keel when it comes to the approach. And then at the end of the training camp, you just kind of see how many good days they've stacked up there. But it's tough right now because everyone's excited. You're in the moment and you're looking for that diamond in the rough. But yeah, you kind of want to proceed with caution because once the real games happen, meaning the preseason games, and as they get into it, guys sometimes change. And so you just want to make sure games matter a little more than practices when it comes to the performance.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, we're talking about don't get carried away with a negative rep for an offensive lineman or a corner. On the other side of it, you can, if you look at the positions those guys are going up against, you're a defensive lineman who gets his butt kicked for 9 reps, but then has that one win that gets popped out there, and you think you just drafted Bruce Smith. and then there's also the wide receiver who makes, you know, a one-handed catch, but you haven't seen him run the wrong route 5 times. You haven't seen him, you know, clank a ball off his chest, you know, things like that. So I think those are the positions that I would say slow down. And then I would also say running back and safety. I was talking to a GM 2 days ago, and I was asking him about guys on their roster, and we're going through them. And I asked him about a running back, and he's like, "We haven't played games yet. Like, you can't evaluate that position in training camp. You just can't. They're not getting touched. So we got to see this young guy run in a preseason game, and then we'll get a better feel for him. And then same with safety. It's hard to evaluate that position until we get out in the field, because as we've discussed before, you have safeties that can't tackle, they can't play. You know, it's a cover league, we get that. But this new offensive approach that we see has changed it now, because they are going to put your safeties in corners, and they're going to put them in support positions, and they are going to make those guys tackle.
You have to tackle, and that's the thing. Before, we used to dismiss guys, particularly cornerbacks. We say, "Oh, he's a cover corner." You can't play with those guys anymore, because they show up, and they show up in the critical moments where you need someone to be able to get a player
down. It's an outside zone league.
Guys have to be able to tackle. They got to be able to be willing to put the face in the fan. And it's one of the things that I know on our podcast we've talked about. Like, now you have to grade the tackling when you're looking at college prospects. You have to talk about whether they put their face in the fan, if they come up and hit, and are they a willing tackler? Are they an ankle biter? Are they a guy that can thump and wrap up? All of that stuff matters. And so, yeah, I mean, like, the way the game has become, it is a space league, and your guys have to be able to tackle one-on-one in space, take good angles, and they have to be willing to do all of that with a level of urgency so you don't give up these big plays on yak plays.
All right, I'm going to hit you up with a couple questions on a couple things just along this social media front that have popped up in training camp, and I'll just get your thoughts on them. Like, buying, selling, worried, concerned, excited, whatever, right? You ready to go?
Yep.
All right, let's go. George Pickens had an unbelievable catch that was thrown out there over Joey Porter Jr. And they gave him a little extra afterwards. You wouldn't have done that against Joey Porter Sr., because Joey Porter Sr. would have been throwing hands at that point in time. But just the catch from him, what we saw last year, him and Pickett together another year. Are you kind of in and buying on this huge upside here with Pickens?
Already buying Pickens before the heroics that we've seen during training camp. You saw last year, he was beginning to flash and come on like gangbusters. The other thing, we know the pedigree of the Pittsburgh Steelers when it comes to drafting wide receivers outside of the first round. I mean, it's almost like they don't miss. Like, they know exactly what they want. They find guys that can do it. We saw he was super talented at Georgia, had knee injury and all those other things, but the talent was never something that you could call into question. Well, now you have him growing in confidence, and the Steelers feeding him. Yeah, he's legit. I think he'll end up being the number one. And I know that is saying a lot after they paid Deontay Johnson, but this dude is the real deal on the perimeter.
Yeah, I think, you know, number one wide receiver is probably a phrase that maybe is overused, because we don't have 32 number one wide receivers. You might be the best guy on your team, but you're not this guy is like, he can be a number one. Like, he's got that type of ability.
Yeah, it's not only that type of ability, it's the aura that he creates and how he makes you react on defense. Defensive coordinators will quickly fear him because he can make the big plays down the field. He can win in the red zone. We see the acrobatic catches that he makes almost on a routine basis, and he has become a really savvy route runner. You put all of those things together, man, it makes you a really, really difficult guard. That's one of the reasons why I believe he can be a number one in this league.
Yeah, no doubt. So that's one thing. I think we're both on the same page. We're both buying there. This next one, it's been a little bit mixed, I would say. But Trey Lance, I know our friend Mike Silver, former colleague, had written something about how he was basically, you know, the forgotten man. He's so far down the depth chart. Who knows if, you know, he'll be on the team type doom and gloom there. You're going to get up there and see him, so you'll have a better chance to figure that out at that point in time. It seems like, man, this seems a little early to be going here, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, it seems like there's been a rush to judgment with Trey Lance, and I get it, because he was drafted early. But what happened, DJ, and we said it when he was coming out, like, he was going to need time. he's going to need time to redshirt. There were a couple of things that were working against him. He didn't really play his final season. He's playing at a smaller school against lesser competition. And despite taking him three, no matter where you took him, those things are the things that he had to overcome. You then redshirt him, basically. He comes back, he gets hurt. So before we really know what he is, he hasn't played enough to be able to make a solid assessment. And DJ, and I know people will say, yeah, but he's been in practice. You've been able to watch him every day. But there's a difference in practices and in games.
Yeah.
And until you really have an opportunity to watch him in game, I don't know how you can give him any other grade outside of incomplete. And so I know there's kind of like this rush to dump him and say that, hey, man, they flubbed on the pick and they messed up the pick or whatever. But we've seen quarterbacks develop in different stages. Like, there's just a different thing. I think if you're denied, you've already paid him. Mm-hmm. So what's the point in cutting him? You might as well mm-hmm. keep him and see if he can develop into something before you, quote unquote, cut your losses.
Yeah, you've always used the analogy with quarterbacks, and it's a great one. You talk about shooters and scorers, right? You got guys that can really shoot the ball. You know, we're talking about guys that can really just kind of get the ball out to where it needs to go. And then there's guys that are scorers, more ability to create. You know, I think when you have a roster in a different place, like, for example, if the 49ers was kind of a middle of the road roster, I think Trey Lance, they'd be more excited about him because, like, he's going to be able to make plays outside of the lines on the playbook. I think they have so much talent at the skill positions, and Shanahan's so confident in what he knows upstairs and how he can manipulate teams and defenses that I think just for where they are right now, he's sitting there saying, like, I don't need anybody to make wild plays and creative plays. He's like, I just need the ball to get accurately from point A to point B so I can get the ball in Christian McCaffrey's hands, Debo Samuel's hands, George Kittle's hands, Brandon Ayuk's hands, mm-hmm. Kyle Juszczyk's hands. Like, those are the stars. Like, the stars of the system are those guys, not the quarterback. So Trey Lance, at this point in time in his development, I could understand him, you know, I could understand saying, okay, well, man, he's not maybe as pinpoint accurate, and, you know, some of the run after catch we won't be able to take quite as advantage of, and maybe he doesn't see things quite as clearly. Mm-hmm. Versus if you didn't have all those other skill guys, you'd be more excited saying, man, look at these 3-4 plays at practice where it broke down and he ran and made a play, or he took off and hit a big chunk down the field. So, I mean, that's kind of, I think, that's where I am looking at that.
No, I mean, that's the challenge. That's the challenge when you have a guy, particularly coming off the heels of listening to that podcast, we talked about it. Like, mm-hmm. listen to that podcast, The Play Callers, and you hear Kyle Shanahan talk. Like, you know, like, he doesn't have a lot of patience for the guys that can't make his vision of plays come to life. And so if Trey Lance is struggling, you can see where he grew frustrated, particularly if Brock Purdy can, look, allow him to be the joystick, play the video game. Hey, you just get it here. I'll make it right for you. With Trey Lance, we can talk about the creativity that it can bring. We can talk about the running ability and all those things that he adds. But if you're right, if you have a Christian McCaffrey or George Kittle, you have Brandon Ayuk and some of the other weapons that the Niners have, you can get away with the game manager. Here's where to catch up to you, though. When you get into those games, those championship games and the Super Bowl, when the quarterback really, really matters. DJ, mm-hmm. we've seen how Pat Mahomes played, how Jalen Hurts played in the Super Bowl, how Joe Burrow played in the championship game in Super Bowl. Like, when you get to that Final Four, you got to have an elite quarterback. Because I can't think of the last time that a non-elite quarterback won a Super Bowl. Do we have a real example of someone that we did not consider elite? They either won or played in the Super Bowl.
Matt Ryan was an MVP. But he was in this Shanahan system. I wouldn't say that he was elite as a player. It's, how do you say that about a guy who's an MVP?
He's number one overall pick.
Yeah,
like,
true.
That's true. What I'm saying. So, like, true. Like,
but I mean, obviously, they didn't even win the game. They blew a 28-3 lead.
But he played in all of that. And we've talked about the system, how the system can turn average players into Pro Bowlers in the NBA.
If Jimmy Garoppolo hit Emmanuel Sanders, maybe we would have been the one.
He would have been the one that we could talk about. But so that's the thing. And so I think this has to be one where, as the front office, and even though Kyle Shanahan may have the juice, this has to be one the front office says, hey, man, let's just still have a long-term view on mm-hmm. this. Let's not do whatever. The quarterback position is such a valuable thing. We brought in Sam Darnold. Great. Like, he's a reclamation project. If it pops, great. But mm-hmm. why not be in the business of holding on to quarterbacks who might display potential? And as I've said, the money you've already paid to Trey Lance. So what's the benefit of getting rid of him at this point? I think you just have to play it out, develop him, and who knows what could turn out if he gets an opportunity to ever play.
All right, I'm going to ask you a follow-up question on that, then we're going to take a quick break here because we don't have too much time left. But betting on the future, and let's go way into the future, 5 years from now. If I told you you could only buy Zach Wilson or Trey Lance, who would you buy?
I would buy Zach Wilson at this point. And the reason why is it's really quiet in New York about Zach Wilson, right? It's been really quiet since Aaron Rodgers got there. You haven't heard the negativity about Zach Wilson that you're hearing about Trey Lance. So to me, a few things have happened. One, Zach Wilson gets an opportunity to play with his idol, Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers has come to New York and wanting to be the teacher, because maybe he sees Zach Wilson as, look, the pupil that I can teach. And if he plays well, it eliminates all that negative stuff about me. Three, I think the Jets are still saying, look, we took the guy number two. We now have this thing. It's not pressure on us to put him on the field. So let's pour into him a little bit and develop him. I think the situations are such that Zach Wilson will have an opportunity to be the starter again in New York before Trey Lance will have that opportunity in San Francisco.
To me, the reason why I would lean towards Zach is because Zach's had the benefit of playing a bunch. Now, it hasn't gone well, but he's had a chance to learn these lessons on the field. Now, his reputation's been hurt. Mm-hmm. His confidence has been hit. But at least he's had a chance to learn those lessons, and he's starting from further on down the road, whereas Trey has taken all this criticism and bullets from what he's done on the practice field. Like, he hasn't even got a chance to get on the field.
Which is unprecedented, really. Yeah. We're making a decision to talk about cutting.
It's crazy.
Just off of like hearsay and speculation off the practice field. He's played four games. They've had some success when he's been on the field. We saw early, not last year, but the year before.
One of those four games was in a monsoon
right.
in Chicago.
So we don't even know. And that's why the grade has to be incomplete on him. And I'm saying this, and look, man, I understand, like, the draft grade is a draft day, so we put that aside. But I'm just saying, as a quarterback in a league where you talk about supply and demand, where there aren't many quarterbacks, the last thing I'm going to do is punt on someone who has intriguing traits. As an athlete, I wouldn't punt on them right now.
Yeah, no, and Geno Smith is the example right there of guys being able to figure it out later on. So I'm hopeful for both of them. They're both good dudes. I hope it all works out for them. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about a couple more rookies. You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you. All right, Buck, you recently wrote about rookies you're looking forward to watch in training camp. I'm going to rattle off the names here, and I want you to give me the one in this group that has you the most excited. We got Anthony Richardson. We've talked a little bit about him in a previous episode. Joey Porter Jr., Luke Musgrave, the tight end of the Packers in the second round. Keon White, the defensive end, edge rusher for the Patriots, who's got some buzz from what he's done early in camp. And then Jake Moody, the kicker for the 49ers.
Yeah, you know, he had to get a kicker in.
What are you doing? Who are you?
What are you doing?
Yeah, what are you doing?
Point scorers. Okay, so
you're going to chart Jake Moody in the preseason? Don't lie.
No, but I'm just saying, like, this, look, the most hyped kicker that we've seen come into the league since Roberto Aguayo. So can he
How'd that work to out? Hype?
It didn't work out. So I want to see if he can make it happen. But the guy that I'm really watching is Luke Musgrave from the Green Bay Packers.
In my
mind, this is an opportunity for the Packers to really remake their offense from the explosive outfit that played with Aaron Rodgers at the helm to a little more of the ball control. Hey, let's go two tight ends. Let's do some different things. Control passing game. We'll let our offense be our best defense by playing a little keep away. If they go that route, he should be able to dominate over the middle of the field. And we've seen the athleticism and all the other stuff, the traits, and we've seen how tight ends, young tight ends, have been able to come in and make their mark. He should make a significant impact on the Green Bay Packers offense. I think Jordan Love is going to find him early and often.
Yeah, I like that. I liked his game coming out. The athleticism is there. You can see it jumps off the screen. So, you know, how does that whole Packers group come together? I know somebody was talking about it the other day. It might have been Lewis Riddick. I saw somebody made the point of, you know, hey, don't judge the Packers off the first four games, five games. Like, they're probably going to get better as the year goes along, as they figure out not only what they have in Jordan Love, but what he does well, doesn't do well, and figure out how to get him in a place where he's comfortable. So I thought that was actually a pretty good take, pretty good advice there. The rest of these guys, the one guy I wanted to ask you about, going back to kind of some of these rookies, my guy, Marte Mapu, man, for the Patriots. Mm-hmm. I read something about him the other day that said they're literally playing him at linebacker, nickel, and safety. Like, as a rookie in that defense, as much as you have to know that they feel comfortable enough that they're putting him in three different spots, felt good about it. We'll see. I don't know if he's going to be able to do it or not, but I felt good about my draft grade knowing that Belichick trusts this young rookie to be moving him around like that. That doesn't happen very often.
It doesn't happen very often, and you have to have a high IQ to be able to play in that defense, that football IQ, the aptitude to be able to do so many different things. The Patriots are a little simplistic in terms of how they play, but they're complex in terms of the variety of different things that they can give you on a week-to-week basis. So you got to be able to compartmentalize all of those things and know how to function within these snowflake game plans. So, yeah, man, that look, that's a testament to his readiness to be able to jump in there. The other person you talk about, New England, Christian Gonzalez. Like the positive stuff that they're getting out of him. And you know how important cornerback play is to the Patriots. If they can have guys that can play man-to-man with some other stuff, it allows them to really throw everything at you. And if they can throw everything at you, they know how to muddy up games. And a team that doesn't look like they can compete with the rest of the division on paper could be better if they get good play from their young defenders in the secondary.
Yeah, this feels like, you kind of going off what you just said, this feels like, I don't want to say it's a reckoning year, but it feels really important for the Patriots. Not, you know, obviously Belichick's gonna go down as the greatest coach of all time. You know, he's already earned that with what he's accomplished.
The seat is hot.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. Like it feels
expectations.
I mean, it's like, okay, we gave you a little buffer the post Brady years, like we give you a little buffer to try and recalibrate, regroup, rebuild the roster. And now it's like, this feels like, okay, this is the time. Like, can you keep up with the Bills? Like, can, you know, what does that gap look like? I think it's a big year, man.
It's a big year. It's a big year for Belichick. It's a big year for Mac Jones. For Belichick, he needs that defense to play well because then it alleviates some of the pressure on Mac Jones to have to play well. But it is what it is. And the fact that Tom Brady went and won a Super Bowl, it only elevates it. There are a bunch of coaches that, look, have never accomplished anything close to what Bill Belichick has accomplished, and they don't feel the heat of being on the hot seat. But it is what it is. Robert Kraft is on record saying, we expect to win. We expect to go to the playoffs. We expect to do that stuff. DJ, when you win six Super Bowls in 20-plus years, hey, man, you get used to seeing the shiny hardware. It's been a while for the Patriots since they've been in the big game. It's been a while since they added some hardware to the collection. You know how it is. That's just what it is, rings and things.
Yep, there you go. Well, I hope you guys have enjoyed this one. Again, we'll be out at some more camps. We'll have recaps for you from what we see. Hopefully that'll help you out a little bit as you go towards your fantasy football draft and we march towards the season. We are fired up. Football tomorrow night, man. It's going to be Browns and Jets. Can I give you one quick prediction on that? The Jets third string line is going to have like five sacks in that game. I mean, it's going to be like Will McDonald and Bryce Huff, like guys like legit pass rushers going up against third team offensive tackles. So that's my prediction for that game, is you're going to come away from that game thinking, holy crap, look at this D-line for the Jets. They got a lot of depth, man.
It should be a lot of fun, man. I'm excited to see it.
Yep. And we'll all join in the annual tradition of saying there's not enough good tackles in this league. It's a preseason conversation we have each and every year.
All the time.
Yeah, it's lopsided. There's a lot more DNs than tackles in this league. All right, that's going to do it for us. Appreciate you hanging. We'll catch you next time right here on Move the Sticks. You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.